back. I want to thank the Tarshish Shmuel and Adina for sponsoring. I checked the notes. This is not the first Parsha Shlach that they've sponsored. So we want to thank once again in memory of Shmuel's grandparents, Rivka Basar of Shmuel, and Rav Yosef Chaim Ben, Rav Aaron HaKohen. And an additional aspect of the sponsorship this year is also in honor of our very own Aaron Liebtag, who is actually taking over that very same shul that Shmuel's grandparents were Rabbi Rebetzin of. So it's very, very poetic and fitting, and it should be an aliyah for the neshama, and it's a chus for Aaron to do wonderful things in the shul in Chicago. It's a little bit deja vu for me, because I was in Israel last week and heard Parsha Shlach. So I was thinking actually about this topic in this Rashi, especially as I went to Kevar Rachel and to Mar Samach Pela. So I thought it was a good opportunity to speak about the topic of davening at Kivrei Tzadikim. So the Pasuk tells us right at the beginning of the Sheni Aliyah, when it's describing the events of the Meraglim, V'ya'alu v'yasuru es ha'aretz, they went up to Eretz Yisrael and they spied it, Mimin bar tzin ad rechov levo chomas, and then Pasuk Chav Beis, V'ya'alu b'negev, obviously they were coming at it from all the different parts of the country, they had to see everything, V'yavo ad Chevron. And Rashi from Chazal notes the contrast that it was Vaya'alu is in plural, 12 spies, or some multiple of it, and Vayavo is in singular, to Chevron. And Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Sota, Kalev Levado Halachsham. Why is it in singular by Chevron? Because Kalev alone went to Chevron. That actually apparently was not part of there was no strategic reason apparently to go to Chevron. The other spies didn't go, but Kalev himself went. Why? V'nishtatach al kibre avos. And he beseeched, or he threw himself on, and he was davening at the kibre avos, at Mar Samach Pela. Shelo yehenisei slachavera lios ba'atzosam. So just like the famous Rashi tells us that that's why Yehoshua's name was changed from Hoshea to Yehoshua, as Moshe davened ka, the extra yud, the yud and then hey for Hoshea, yud hey, ka Yoshiach HaMiatas Meraglim, that Moshe, even before they went, anticipated it. So at some point in the early stages of it, apparently, we're speculating, but it seems reasonable that maybe even if he didn't know ahead of time, but once they got there, Kalev saw what was going on, that he had been caught with this group that was not necessarily going for the reason that maybe he thought they should be going for, and therefore he veered off. Maybe he said he saw something, you know, to check out that Chevron area, and he was able to divert himself and with some privacy go to the Mar Samach Pela to daven for what was, in his case, a Yeshua. As an aside, and this really relates not only to Kalev, although it's asked about Kalev, but it really relates to the whole sugya, Tosfos in the Gemara there, it's in Sota, which Rashi's quoting from, asks, how could this be, or how would this be helpful? The Gemara in Brachos seems to indicate that Mesim don't know what's going on in this world. So Tosfos gives what I think would be really almost an obvious answer, which is, even if they don't know, okay, they didn't know, but that's why he's davening. He told them. He told, that's exactly pretty much what Tosfos says, by davening to the tzaddik, or in this case tzaddikim, you are telling them what is happening. But be that as it may, that is we'll see even in many poskim they discussed Kalev. This is the prime example in Chazal for a notion of davening kibre tzaddikim. However, it's not by far the only source. I'll quote for you just a few sources now. Both the Psikta Rabasi and in Bereshis Rabba, Parsha Pei Beis, just to tie together my touring from this past Monday, point out it's not just Mar Samach Pela, of course, they speak about Kevar Rachel and the fact that Yaakov specifically buried Rachel outside of the city, not in Beis Lechem, but outside Beis Lechem, because as he tells Yosef at the end of Sefer Bereshis, don't be upset at me that I wasn't trying to insult your mother. On the contrary, it was Gzeira, Hashem told me that I have to bury her right here. And the explanation being is that with the Nevuah, that there would be a time the Jewish people would be going out of Eretz Yisrael, they would be exiled, and on their way out, they'd be able to stop at Kevar Rachel. They'd go down that road, and they'd be able to stop there and daven to the Mama Rachel, as she is known. That's a famous medrash quoted in two places. So that's another example in a biblical sense of Mar Samach Pela and Kevar Rachel, the two most famous of the biblical kvaros. Furthermore, there's two Gemaras in Masechta Tainis which are relevant. The Gemara in Tainis on Daf Tezayin, talks about people going Holech Lebeis HaKvaros, and the Gemara asks why should it be, and there's one answer, but then the second answer the Gemara gives, which is the more oft quoted one, is that you should daven, that you should go there and ask them to daven for us. They should have mercy on us. Furthermore, the Gemara in Tainus 7 daf later in Daf Chav Gimel talks about Rav Mani, and there are people who are being matzar him, they're bothering him, and he went to his father's kever and he davened that he should be relieved of these pressures. The Gemara says that it worked. The Gemara in Bamitzia Daf Pehe is the, where is Daf Yom Yom? Pehe is, not yet. No. I know you're in Bamitzia, right? I'm in the right Masechta. Okay, right Seder. Okay, that's what's called. That's my Shechas is Daf Yom. I know what Masechta you're in. So on Daf Pehe it says that Reish Lakish used to be Mitzayin the graves. The reason I went to Eretz Yisrael was for my Babi's Hakama Samateva. So now we have actual. You know, these types of cement things, but even in more primitive times, they would be Mitzayin. They would, that's exactly what Masev is. They would demarcate the graves. What's the purpose of that? Why? So Rashi says, excuse me, the Rashash and the Yaakov Emden and the Hagos Yaivitz, both of them on the Gemara, say that people would know where they were so they can come daven. Again, this idea of davening by Kvaros. And furthermore, last Gemara we'll mention is the Gemara in Sanhedrin, and Mem Dalid says that has a vague phrase. The Gemara says Rabbi Yochanan says a person should daven above for strength and not to have tsar from below. And what is that referring to? So it's very enigmatic. But Rashi says that a person's davening that she should have help, but the malachim from above, the malachim should help him, and that some negative forces which are supernatural, sitrach or who knows what, they shouldn't have hold of him. But again, a notion of davening to with malachim, that's not identical to the issue of that we've seen of somebody who's the neshamos of tzaddikim who've died or previous people who've died. But most of the sources that I saw explicitly, and I didn't see anyone who disagreed explicitly, and many explicitly made the connection between whether you could daven to malachim, like in this Gemara's case, or you could daven to the neshamos of tzaddikim. Either way, it seems to be some intermediary between you and Hashem, and yet all these Gemaras indicate that this is very normative and unexceptional, not controversial at all. And well, we'll get to what exactly we're doing. I don't know how many people know what the term Eretz Yosher means, but we will mention it by the end of this year, and hopefully give an explanation that at least some people understand this is Eretz Yosher, but it's not what everyone understands. Okay, we'll get to it. Okay? And finally, the last point, even for those of us who may not run to Kfaros or to cemeteries, but we may recall from Elul and Tishrei that we say in the Slichos, we have the famous Malachi Rachamim, and even before that, during Elul, we say the Machnisei Rachamim. I forget, is it Mordechai Medavid? Somebody has a very beautiful niggun to it that Chaim Gartenhaus uses. It's very stirring. And just think about what you're saying. You're talking about the angels, that the angels should be Machnisei Rachamim. You daven to the angels that they should bring, you know, have mercy on you and bring your tfilos in some manner. And finally, perhaps, even if you don't pay attention to that, every Friday night at home, right? The third stanza, Baruchuni L'Shalom, we daven to the angels that they should bless us. So we have many, many sources in Gemaras, Midrashim, common liturgy, which seem to indicate an appropriateness of davening to angels and or to the death of the deceased tzaddikim, or even if they're not big tzaddikim, but relatives, Kadosh V'Tahor. In terms of more, not Chazal sources, but a little bit step more recent than that, but still pretty, older and authoritative sources. The Sefer HaChassidim, not only is he very pro-davening to Malachim and Tzadikim, the Sefer HaChassidim tells us that Rav Haigon used to go from Bavel. Rav Haigon was a Gaon. The Gaonim lived in Bavel. But he used to go from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael every Sukkot, and he would do Hakafos there around Kvarim. That he held that somehow like a din of like a mizbeach, like in the Beis Hamikdash, they used to do the Hoshanas, they used to go around the mizbeach, so he used to go around graves. That's what Sefer Chassidim says. Furthermore, even if that's a little bit too spicy for you, the Ramah, you can't get more mainstream than the Ramah, in at least three different places that I found, the Ramah talks about in auspicious times, going to the cemetery to daven. The Magen Avraham points out, of course, the Ramah Stava davening in on Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, Simon Tav Kuf Pei Aleph. The Ramah says on Erev Rosh Hashanah, you should be marvav b'tachnunim at the cemetery in Tav Kuf Nun Tes 559. The Ramah says on Tisha B'Av going to a cemetery, and also in Tav Reish Hei for Yom Kippur, also going to the cemetery. The Ramah, three different places, speaks about davening at the cemetery. Now, before we see an entirely different approach that is critical of everything I just said, or at least a large part of it, it's worth noting that among the fans of davening by Kibbutz Tzadikim, there seems to be an interesting machlokas. Is it just a beautiful thing, an inspirational etzatova, or is it possible it's even a mitzvah to go? So the Kaftor of Aferach, which was a classic work, primarily focuses on Yom Yeretz Yisrael. Most of the time I've ever had to use the Kaftor of Aferach was when I've been learning various Zroim sugyas. But the Kaftor of Aferach there talks about being ro'i to visit graves, and some of the Achronim quote this in the Medai, that it's ro'i, it's a good thing, but of course it's not more than that. Furthermore, there's a Pesach Tshuva and some other less known tshuvas, the Mishpatei Tzedek and the Pe'aretz, so of course there's no mitzvah. What mitzvah could there be? You know, davening is a mitzvah, but you don't need to go to a cemetery. Tshuva is a mitzvah, you don't have to go to a cemetery. Okay, maybe it's a good thing to do at the cemetery, but certainly nothing more than that. However,
it could be an issue of whether it's like an end in itself or a means to an end.
Well, yes, but that's the male Yeshua point. Let's hold off on that. However, as normal as that may, or unexceptional as that might sound, there are some who do actually go much further than that. The Ben Ish Chai says it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. And Yabi Omer and Tshuva quotes somebody named Shut Steh Aretz, who also says, perhaps, he says, you know, he's not sure, but perhaps it's even a mitzvah to go to a cemetery to daven. So you'll say, no, what's the nafka mina? So another person that I felt close to in this past trip was the Steh Chemed. Because for those of you who have been in your recent memory to Chevron, you know that the Steh Chemed was Ola to Chevron, and he finished the Steh Chemed in Chevron. In fact, if you've ever seen a standard edition of the Steh Chemed, which we have somewhere, where is it? We had somewhere in the library here, in Beis Medrash. The Steh Chemed, the typical edition of the Steh Chemed, is published by the Lubavitcher Publishing House. It's very strange. Why should that be? He was not a Lubavitcher. The reason is because Lubavitch also has a kesher to Chevron. The daughter of the Mitla Rebbe came to, she was a big Oheves Tzion and Dafka wanted to move, and she came to Chevron. She subsequently had an opportunity to become the Rebbe. The Rebbe's wife died, and the Rebbe wanted to marry her. I don't know if that was an uncle or a grandfather or something. Anyway, and she basically said, if you come to Chevron, I'll marry you. She was that much of an... She wasn't going to go back to Lubavitch or wherever they were, to Europe. She was very connected to Chevron, and that was the connection that the Lubavitchers published the Steh Chemed. So in the Steh Chemed and his Ma'areches Eretz Yisrael, the Steh Chemed asked the following Shiloh, which is Nafka Mina Lamaisa nowadays. I'll tell you in a second what I mean by that. But the Steh Chemed asked the following Shiloh. If you live in Eretz Yisrael, there is an Isser to leave. But the parameters of that Isser are... it's going to be a topic for another shiur. But let's for now just grant that there is broadly speaking, an Isser to leave Eretz Yisrael. And really there are a few exceptions, all of which are for basically mitzvah purposes. So the Steh Chemed wants to know, are you allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael to go to Kivrei Tzadikim? What would be the classic contemporary example of this? What's even more popular than Lejens? Uman, 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 right? Right, it's one thing to go from Baltimore, but could you imagine to go from Eretz Yisrael? So the Steh Chemed thinks it's mutter to leave Eretz Yisrael to go to Kibbutz Tzadikim because it's a mitzvah rabbah. And if it's a rabbah, then it's mutter to leave Eretz Yisrael for that. So a lot of people discuss this. I don't know if it's published in any of his tshuvas, but more recently there's been like a kol kori I saw quoted in various places from Rav Avadi Yosef, who is Eish Lahava against the whole Uman thing, and especially against people from Eretz Yisrael leaving. It's ridiculous. But well before that, Rav Kook has a tshuva I found called the Tshuvas Mishpat Kohen in Siman Kuf Mem Zayin, where Rav Kook was also asked the Shaila, and he wrote, I take that back, this particular, I think, if I'm not mistaken, this tshuva Rav Kook was a direct letter to the author of the Steh Chemed, Rav Chizki Medini. He sent a copy to Rav Kook, and Rav Kook wrote him back Ha'aris. So on this volume that Rav Kook was writing Ha'aris, he saw this chiddush of the Seichem, and he said, it's crazy. How could it be? So he makes a number of arguments, including the fact that if you are so, you know, Shkapil, do you want to go to Kibbutz Tzadikim? There's no shortage of them in Eretz Yisrael. You know, if that's your thing, so you have plenty in Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Kook says, but then he says, and anyway, I don't know what you're talking about. What mitzvah is there to go? It's no mitzvah to go. He ends the tshuva, that part of the tshuva, by saying, maybe, if you say that maybe you'll daven better there, you'll be inspired and you'll daven better there, so maybe it's somehow part of that. But he's not really convinced. I would certainly put Rav Kook on the side of not a mitzvah, and certainly not a fan of anyone leaving Eretz Yisrael to do this. Yes. I don't know. It's hard to know. They just say maybe Ulai, it's a mitzvah. They don't. I don't know. I have no idea. The only ones who address the question are those who disagree, and they say it's not a mitzvah. After all, what mitzvah could it be? So I didn't see. You know, I didn't. I really. I don't know. It's a good question.
Maybe Rav Kook would change his mind by life.
I don't know. I'm not sure. The only person I saw, it's interesting that you make that, even that comparison, the juxtaposition of live and death. The only person, Rav Moshe has a tshuva on the topic of davening by graves and stuff. And Rav Moshe there, in the context of that tshuva, Rav Moshe does speak about the idea of, you know, he kind of sets it up by talking, and Rav Moshe very strongly endorses the idea of going to an Adam Gadol, and even talks about, even if it's not just Chachamim Mesora and the Sanhedrin, but even, you know, Yiftach Bedoro, even a Chacham in your generation, going to them and asking them to daven for you. Moshe seems to be pretty pro that. I don't know, you know, I don't know that that's the same thing as like a kvittel and a check, but going and asking someone to daven for you in a meaningful way, that Rav Moshe was seemed to be supportive of. And then he speaks about, well, if that's the case, then maybe there's even, you know, similar power for the neshama of the tzaddik even after he died. Huh? In a sense, right. So, but Lamaisa, whether that would be considered a mitzvah and that would allow one to go out of Eretz Yisrael, I don't know. I don't want to even speculate. Rav Kook was speaking certainly about the dead tzaddikim, not about the live tzaddikim. Okay, so all of this, the Lamaisa, even if you hold the Shesh Neitzei Tova, and maybe you shouldn't leave for Eretz Yisrael or something like that, but Lamaisa, all of this has been in the pro going to cemetery perspective. There is a large school that, I wouldn't say as large, though. It's definitely, I would say it's a minority view, but it's kind of a 40 to 60 school of thought that is very against all of this. And the most well-known source that anchors the criticism is from the Rambam. Where in the Rambam? The Rambam in Yud Gimel Karim. The Rambam in his Hagdama, we know in Mishnayis to Perek Chelek, has a 13 Yikarim. And number 5 is that we don't daven to mediums. We have daven every person. You don't need, I don't need, and you can obviously see which that he's coming to Lafuki, certain religions. Right? You don't need anyone's help to get to the Baruch Shalom. No matter who you are, the simple person, you have a pipeline, you can go straight to God. We don't daven. Hu haroi levado. We only daven to him. Ve'ein roi la'ovdam kidei liyosam emtsaim l'krove lavan. We don't daven to anybody, any other power, live or supernatural, to get to Hashem. We go straight to the source. The Rambam is against any type of
davening to
so that you, who said the lashon of the Barchuni L'Shalom is that the angel should bless us, and the lashon of the Gemara about Kalev is that he says to the Avosenu, you know, Rachamenu, have mercy on me. I'm not saying you're getting to the same thing Eli said to Louis. I'm not saying you couldn't be right, but it's not so simple. And Lamaisa, the Rambam may be against that anyway. The Rambam seems to be against any type of intermediary. We go straight to the source.
Review.
I don't know what that means. And anyway, that's still not about, that's still not davening to them.
Like if whatever, that's
you're going to
Chai Rotel Mashka in Meiron, that won't get them straight
in. I don't know. The Sefer Ikarim, Rav Yosef Albo, also basically just mimics, even though the Rav Yosef Albo is famous because he argues on the whole premise of the Sefer Ikarim, in essence, is an argument with the Rambam Yigim Lekarim. But as I spoke about 4 or 5 years ago in our Matzah Shabbos lecture series, not so much because he disagreed with the substance of any of the Rambam's points. He argued on how to categorize. He felt there's only 3 Karim, not 13. But the other 10 he felt were true also, and one of them, which may not have been an ikar for the Sefer Ikarim, but he felt was a fundamental truth, was this, again, this idea that we don't daven to intermediaries, we go straight to the source. And the Maharal in the Nesif HaAvoda also is very Maimonidean in this regard. The Maharal explicitly rejects Machnisei Rachamim on this regard, and that's part of a long list of tradition that we have that reject Machnisei Rachamim. The most famous is the numerous sources that we have that are attributed in the name of Chaim Volozhiner. That Rav Chaim Volozhiner is very famous, and this is the whole line with the Briskers after that, that they very much against the Barchuni L'Sholom on Friday night, and they're against Machnisei Rachamim and Malachei Rachamim during Slichos and Yom Noraim, all that stuff. We have a number of secondary sources from Rav Chaim Volozhiner that he was very against all of this. Furthermore, mainstream halakha sources, the Shach in Yoredeya, says that there's an Isser. We know it's kind of like divinations, to be Darish al Amesim. It's kind of, you know, this kind of hokey poke, you know, hocus pocus, supernatural stuff, which is Isser. And the Shach says someone who's no there, someone who takes a neder, that they're going to go to Kivrei Tzadikim. It could be a neder Batos. It could be, because it's basically like violating an Isser. And furthermore, the Chasam Sofer and Teshuva also quote some of the earlier Achronim who reject Machnisei Rachamim, and the Chasam Sofer says on himself that he wouldn't say Machnisei Rachamim, but he didn't want to create a stir. And this is part of the issue we see in a number of, not only in other sugyas, but in this sugya itself, in a number of sources, certain resignation on the part of certain Gedolim, even they weren't a fan of things, but this is very captivating to people. It's a very hard thing. People who are into this are really into this. And a lot of people are into it. And it's hard always to get in the way of that kind of mentality. So the Chasam Sofer says he wasn't so into Machnisei Rachamim, so he used to have a long tachnun. So he would avoid having to say it, but he would also have avoid having to have known that he wasn't saying it. Okay. So Ad Kan was the basic major machlokes about whether we should generally be pro or anti these things. As I said, as I've been dafka commingling, there's the issue of tzaddikim, the people who have died, but then, you know, once they're died, they're basically like malachim, you know, they're spirits, so we have the neshama of the tzaddik, or we have the angels, and these are all, we have sources, you know, that are pro both of these, and we have sources that are not pro either of these. So the question now is, and this is really the last major point to discuss, is among those who are pro it, why are they pro it? And there's another way of asking, how do they get out of the problem of the Rambam in the Yod Gimel Karim, etc. Now, the Jews are those who argue, especially the more Kabbalistic sources, that perhaps they don't hold to that whole Rambam. Perhaps, you know, especially in Kabbalistic sources, there's really more of an acceptance of certain other powers and forces, and that may or may not be the case, but if it is, I can't be machnas myself, Barachmim or Baratzon to that. I don't know, understand you, that's beyond me. So let's leave out any, you know, let's assume that everyone's going to be bound by the Rambam. The question then still is, so what's going on here? And again, even without that, just how do you understand it? I mean, why would you be davening to, I mean, it's just if you have no, if you have not been acculturated to it, it's just a weird thing for Jews to do. It's weird for me to say that if you've been acculturated to it, especially if you have Hasidic blood like I do. You know, it's like you live and breathe Kvarim. But that's, or for Sephardic, for sure, also, you know, there's a lot, it's a very accepted thing. But if you take a step back and think about it, it doesn't sound like such a Jewish thing. So what is it all about? So there seems to be two approaches. The more extreme and then the more moderate approach. We'll start with the more extreme approach. And as far as I could tell, the oldest source for the most extreme approach, beyond the fact that there's a number of Gemaras, including the Gemara in Sota, about Kalev, that talk about Kalev davening to the Avos, that they should, so to speak, save him. Now, again, if you want to be meduyuk in that Gemara, he did not daven that it should be in the schus of the Avos, like Rabbi Oberson said before. It should be in the schus. That's not the lashon of the Gemara. Or the Gemara in Tainis that says, why do you go to Kvarim? So they should be merachim on you. So how literally to take those Gemaras or not is the question, really. And the earliest source for, I think, taking that literally, on the extreme approach, it comes from one of the lesser-known Rishonim, the Shiboli Haleket. The Shiboli Haleket in Reish Pei Beis quotes what he says is the Medrash Shir Hashirim. So I plugged in the quote to the Bar Ilan search engine. First I tried Medrash Shir Hashirim, and after a few times of that, I just did all Medrash, and then I tried all Sefer Chazal. I could not find this in any source in Chazal. But maybe there's some version of the Medrash which we don't have anymore, I don't know. But the Shibbol Eleket, I saw the Lashon inside, he quotes what he claims to be a Medrash of Shir Hashirim, that basically is very vivid language of us davening directly to the angels, that they should carry, that's the Lashon, that they should carry our tefillos to Hashem. They should carry, exactly, but this is older than that, especially if it's a Medrash somewhere. But even if not, let's leave aside Chazal for a minute. That's it's a late Rishon. Shibbol Eleket saying that we're davening to the angels. Right, that's the key point here. We're davening to the angels. Now, what we're not saying, which is of course important, and we'll reiterate it, I'm sure, more than once before the year is over, everyone agrees, again, chutz maybe from certain Kabbalists, which I don't understand, everyone agrees that you're not davening to the angels or to the tzaddik to do whatever it is you need to do. Nebuch, someone's sick, to cure them. That, I think, according to everyone, would be kira. But there's still, as we'll see when I contrast this, this is a small step away from that. We could take a big step away from it. This is only a small step away from it. We are davening to the malach, we are davening to the tzaddik. Which is that we're davening with the knowledge, they're not in the power to do something, but somehow, up in Shemayim, they can bring our tchina or our tefillah to Hashem, and then that will hopefully help. So who do we daven?
It's philosophically not different than a tzaddik giving you a bracha, or Yitzchak giving Yaakov a bracha, or Abraham giving
Yitzchak
a bracha.
It depends. I'm sorry. That's the question. How do you understand those brachos? How do you understand those brachos?
Those are well established that somebody can give somebody a bracha.
Well, I don't know, but how do you understand what that means? That's not simple.
No, that's not simple, but you're basically asking Hashem to
Correct, but it could very well be that it's a similar phenomenon. But the Chiddush is still that the tzaddik, this relates to the point four, that tzaddik, when you go to the Rebbe, the Rosh Hashiva, he's alive.
Okay.
That's, to me, that's not an obvious equation, the going to call, speaking to someone who's been dead, saying, could you give me a bracha, so to speak. And even if you understand it in the most, I'll call it, litvishized way of brachos, you know, not that it's some hocus, you know, pocus thing, but so much so that the Rebbe or the Rosh Hashiva, who has great zechuyos in his own right, that he davens for you, which I think is the most misnagdic way of looking at brachos. Okay, but that's still it's not a simple equation to compare that to someone to davening to someone who's been dead for 400 or for 4 years to do the same thing. It may be the same phenomenon, but it's a much bigger chiddush when you're saying you can apply it to a dead person. Or an angel. But you might be right that it's a similar phenomenon, but still, davening to an angel, I'm going to give you some other sources that accept this. I'm not trying to make this controversial necessarily. I think you'll see when I contrast it, that it's the most extreme position. Maybe it's a very legitimate position, but we'll see there are a lot of sources that are uncomfortable with this. But
I could say maybe that it's not to the malach to intercede on your behalf, rather you're davening to the malach not to interfere against your tefillah, they should arrive.
Okay, I didn't see it. I don't remember anyone using that formulation. Okay, could be. That's not. But again, it's still a notion which to me is very radical. And at the very least, even if you take out my editorial for that, just objectively, as you'll see other sources, this is still more extreme. The idea is that we're davening to the angels. What they should do, what they shouldn't do. We're not davening to Hashem. We're davening to the angels. That's what the Shibbol Eleket says. First, furthermore, the Sefer Chassidim also, I quoted the Sefer Chassidim before, he's explicit that it's mutter to daven directly to the angel, or, for that matter, to the neshama of the tzaddik. The Darkei Tshuva, the Munkach Yerdayin, the Darkei Tshuva also paskins this way, and the Abia Omer, Rav Avadja and Tshuva, also quotes from various poskim that say you're mutter to daven directly to the dead, as long, again, Rav Avadja stresses, as we already said, as long as you're davening to the neshama of the tzaddik or to the malach, not that they can help you, but that they should help you with Hashem, who is the one, of course, who ultimately has the power one way or the other. In fact, in the Minchas Aluzer, the original Munkacher Rebbe, so he quotes our Gemara, our Rashi, the story with Kalev, and he says, if you take that Gemara literally, or as he puts it, it's meduyak, that Kalev asked the Avos that they should daven for him. You know, they should take care of it for him. It wasn't davening to Hashem at Maras HaMakpelah. It was davening to the Avos that should take care of him. So again, we'll see other sources read that Gemara not so literally, but the Munkakter says, Adarab, it's very literal, and it should be taken literally, and it supports this notion. I just want to add one other thing, I'll take your point. I'm not sure how to square this, because again, these are topics which are a little bit beyond me. I'm not sure how to square this with the Tosfos and the Gemara Brachos, the Tosfos quote at the beginning of this year, that talks about how the dead don't know what's going on in this world. But Lamaisa, that notwithstanding, the Maram Shik in a Tshuva, it's interesting because his Rebbe, the Chasam Sofer, was very against this stuff, as I mentioned, but the Maram Shik in a Tshuva assumes that the deceased do know what's happening in this world, and therefore they feel, they're empathetic, and therefore they're tzaddikim, they're big-hearted, and therefore they feel pain, so to speak, when we're in pain. And therefore, even if we don't have sufficient zechuyos to, you know, get whatever needs to be done, taken care of, but if by us, so to speak, putting our pain in their lap, so then they're in pain. And if they're in pain, well, they're such big tzaddikim, they don't deserve to be in pain, and therefore Mamela Hashem is going to have to take care of the problem so that they don't have to suffer. That's how he understands davening directly. So he, in a certain sense, he humanizes it. But again, humanizing dead people is a little bit of a weird thing for me. Yelio, yeah.
Is it possible to say that there's an Indian mitzvah or whatever to visit a kever independent of tefillah?
For what purpose?
Contemplation. In other words, and the tefillah is memela. In other words, you're there. You might as well say.
Well, I think as follows. I didn't see in the sources that I was looking at for today. I was focusing specifically.
You wouldn't get that from the Ramah.
I don't recall. You can take a look at the Lashon. I was very, you know, yeah. I'm saying in general, you know, in life, and when you're doing any kind of research, you know, you have to be careful for, you know, your predispositions. So I was looking at everything, specifically looking, you know, with the eye towards tefillah. Maybe that blinded me. I don't recall. But I would say on the larger issue, though, I'm not thinking of any particular source at the moment. But I think if you talk about a person going to the parent's grave, whether or not you daven, that is an Indian of Kibbutz Aveim. That, you know, we have a notion of Kibbutz Aveim la'achar misa, at least mitra rabbanon. So that would be one example. So would you say, could you extend that? That I think is very accepted. So would you extend that to say, well, if I'll go to the Shlomo Zalman's kever, or let alone who knows whose kever, so that's kind of like kavod chachamim, or you're adding something even more subtle, maybe it'll inspire me, it'll humble me, it's like, you know, Maimar Chazal or Perkei Avos about, you know, remembering, you know, where we all go. You hang out in the graves, you remember that, you know, everyone is, you know, and maybe those would be, you know, facilitated for other cumim. It's definitely possible. You know, the sources I was focusing on, or at least the way I was reading the sources, was specifically speaking about this notion of tefillah.
It's
tefillah. That's what I said. If you go to a certain, but then you don't have to daven, or did you just go?
I was saying, once you're there already, you might as well do something.
Right,
but it's not.
Yeah, okay. If somebody is going for that purpose, I think that would be in dispute. That would not be controversial.
That's a religious approach. I guess I said, but that is
that's completely not different than what we're talking about. To me, that would be indisputable. Yeah, those are famous midrashim. Yeah, they're very beautiful midrashim. We've spoken about them on Tisha B'Av. That's actually one of the famous midrashim about Rachel Imenu, right? That he went to all. I think that midrash knows Hashem himself. Or was that with Yirmiyahu? I forget. He went to all the various avos and they couldn't most, and they couldn't move Hashem until they went to Rachel Imenu, who was able, right? You know, and was able to move Hashem. There are again notions. Again, now, to what extent do we take those midrashim literally as opposed to metaphorically, is a question which certainly would relate to this. But again, even that, you don't need to go to the kever of Rachel for that. You know, didn't say the Navi went to the kever of Rachel. It just says that somehow up in Shemayim this stuff was going on. Okay. All of this should be contrasted, as I said, this is the more extreme approach, that you're davening to the angel. This is not Melech Yosher, I don't believe. What Melech Yosher has in mind is something else. Think. And that is as follows. I'm not sure. Melech Yosher is one of the two things. The other less extreme approach It's quoted in a number of sources. For example, the Be'er Heitiv quotes him in the Maharil that says that a Beis HaKfaros, that a cemetery, is a makom menuchas tzadikim. You have tzadikim buried there. And as a result, because these have tzadikim who've been there, that's a makom of Kaddish and Tahor. And then when you're davening to Hashem, the location of davening in a Beis HaKfaros will make your tfilos better received. But you're davening to Hashem, not to the malach, not to the dead person. You're davening to Hashem. It's just that, just like we say, I don't remember if he says this, but my marshal would be, just like we say davening in shul is a better place than davening at home. It's the same tfilos, it's the same Hashem. So he says that's the idea of kivrei tzadikim, davening there because of its hallowed ground, as we would say. Yeah, okay, but that's not a cemetery, that's not a grave. But yeah, again, that's the idea that certain places are more receptive. The connection, you know, now with cell phones and stuff, you know, we're sensitive to that topic. You know, you're the same phone, you walk around, you get a better connection. So when you walk to certain places, it says the Be'er Heitiv from the Maharil, that when you're there, it's a better reception. The Bach, interestingly, the Bach in Yardei and Reish Yerzayin, the Bach starts off very against, he's very queasy about all this stuff of people, and he points out that it's Dafka, the less educated, who tend to run to these Kivrei Tzadikim, and he's very bothered by it. He says, but what can I do? The Gemara says about Kalev, Rashi says about Kalev, did it. So he says, basically, he quotes somebody named Rabbeinu Chaim, I think Rabbeinu Chaim Paltiel, I'm not sure who he was. The Bach says, Rabbeinu Chaim explains that when Kalev went there, just like the Maharil said, he was not like the literal understanding of the Gemara. And then the Munkacher wanted to be Medayik in the Gemara. But says the Bach, no, no, no. He was not literally davening to the Avos that they should save him. Rather, he went there because it's a Makom Kadosh. And therefore, he felt that he would be more inspired, or his tefillos would be more well-received if he davened there. But he wasn't davening to them to help have mercy on him. He was davening, of course, to Hashem. And the Bach says he's very worried because only the educated people know this. But who is more likely to run to the Beis HaKfaros, he says, are the less educated people. And he thinks they are mistakenly davening to the angels, or in this case, davening to the tzaddikim, which the Bach is bothered by. But then, as I alluded to at the beginning of this year, we have an undercurrent of this notion of like halacha and minhag, and sometimes there's a little bit of tension. And the Bach says, no, but what could I do? This minhag is so, so strong, people going, that, you know, we just have to try to educate people as best we can. And, it should be, you know, Hashem should protect us from any mistakes. But then, admittedly, this is not the literal translation of the Gemara, but that's what he reads into the Gemara. And again, you could understand why, because this whole school of thought is bothered, not just by something that would be really kira, like thinking that the tzaddikim have power, but even the notion of davening to the tzaddik to bring the tefillah. Still, you're putting someone in between you and Hashem, and that is already seems to be running against the notion of the Rambam. The Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah himself speaks about this in Tav Kuf Pei Aleph, and he says also this idea going from that line in the Maharil that the cemetery is a makom menuchas tzadikim, tefillah is miskabelas yoser, but says Mishnah Berurah, because again Mishnah Berurah, by the time you get to Mishnah Berurah, you've seen the sources, he's worried about this, and Mishnah Berurah himself quotes this idea. He goes, don't be confused and mistaken, don't put your faith in the dead, rather daven to Hashem. And maybe Hashem will have mercy on you, b'schus the tzaddikim. But daven to Hashem, don't daven to the tzaddikim. And the Levush and the Chochmas Adam also take this approach, and they ask the Gemara and Tainis, which we quote at the beginning of the Shir, which talked about how you go to Kfaros, that they should daven for you, or it sounded like it. And they said, no, you have to reread the Gemara. Again, it doesn't what it means. What it means is that you daven to Hashem, and that somehow, maybe when you're davening to Hashem, this is a twist on what we saw, but it's fundamentally an agreement that you're davening to Hashem, but that maybe the tzaddikim will hear your tefillos, and they'll be moved by them, and they'll want to join in and offer the tefillah on your behalf as well. But again, the idea is you are davening to Hashem. One of the most recent sources that discusses this in a very authoritative way, you see quoted a lot, is the Geshe Rachayim. It's an appropriate sefer, dealing with Avelis and stuff. So he asked, he discussed, he has a whole few pages on, he talked about Shalom Aleichem also, and he also speaks about Machnisei Rachamim and going to the cemetery. And he says all the sources that seem to be against this, that's only because they're talking about cases where a person mistakenly davens to that being because you think that they have the power to do something. But as long as you realize that only Hashem has the power, so then, you know, asking for a little help, so to speak, to be malitz in a sense, on, you know, plug away, then, you know, that's he says, is a good thing. Hamlotza is like a recommendation. I assume it's a variation of that. I guess so, yeah. I'm not sure what the earliest source of that term is. Do you anyone know? I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Okay, I'll just let one last thing before we go. Rav Moshe, I mentioned, has a tshuva on it. Rav Moshe, I saw he quoted the Ramban. Ramban in Bereishis on Lamed Beis, when the Malach says to Yaakov, right, Lama Zatisha Lashmi, right, when at the fighting, right, so the angel, Yaakov says, tell me your name. And Malach says, what do you need to know my name for? So Ramban understands that that dialogue is exactly this. That the angel is saying to Yaakov, don't worry about me or what my name is. I can't help you. Only Hashem can. And therefore, Rav Moshe kind of sums up. First of all, he mentions that his father of David, he's not sure if it was because of Rechaim Voloshin or not, but he had this practice that he wouldn't say Machlise Rachamim the way they say, and he had a different girsa and didn't say Brachuni. Rav Moshe says this about his father. I don't know if that was his practice or not, the Mestama it was, but if he said his father was. But then he says, really, what you have to understand, Rav Moshe kind of sums up the whole sugya. He says, listen, the only argument that we've seen, and there certainly is an argument, is whether davening to Malachim or to the Shema of the Mesim with the idea that they should somehow help you with Hashem, is that a violation or not? But says Rav Moshe, everyone would agree that davening to them that they should do something for you, so that certainly is a problem. And one last point, just to mention that it's a discussion, is that I saw from a Magen Avraham and then from more recent tshuvas of the Satmar Rebbe and of Sternbach and of Ezra Batsri, the Shari Ezra, I'll discuss the various other times of the calendar, which is, I get the shaylus with some regularity, going to cemeteries on Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed, and the minhag is not to do any of this. But again, the more you're pro these things and you see them as having, you know, then the more pressure there would be to, you know, to be allowance. But if even without a yurts, I want to go to Kibre Tzadikim, I have a tzara, I have a test, I have surgery coming up, whatever the reason would be. So again, the more you see this as a really good thing and maybe even a mitzvah, so the more obviously it's going to allow, perhaps even on days which we would ordinarily not go to cemeteries. The more, you know, if you will, misogynist you are about these things, so the less perhaps flexible, the less flexible one might be. All right. Good Shabbos.